Jeremiah. Now, I've been sharing with you in these midweek services a word for financial increase for your life. The central theme of what I'm sharing on, and make sure you understand this, is that we have to make a demand upon our faith. Now, we are not just talking about prosperity, and we're not just talking about money, but we've got to know, number one, we've got to know what our rights are, our covenant rights in the body of Christ. Now, one of the reasons I'm sharing this on Wednesday, because this is a mature word, and this is a word for believers. Let me ask, do I have anybody that's not saved in here tonight? Say, well, you'd ask that up front. Yeah, I'm just asking. Does anybody not say? Okay, are we all believers? Okay, so if we're all believers, then there's no use me preaching a salvation message. Okay? If we're all believers, then we need to find out what our assignment is from God so we can go on with God. Amen? Do you see? Because some people have to get out of the religious ruts that they're in. Some people have wrong attitudes about certain things that are ministered or need to be ministered. But we have to put a demand upon our faith to receive from God. And it is just as important that our relationship with God is right. Because if our relationship with God is not right, then nothing works. Prayers are not answered, and you're certainly not going to be in tune with the Spirit of God. You're not going to hear what God is saying. So you have a covenant right to prosper. You need to know that. You have as much right to prosper as any other promises that are in the Word of God, you have a right to. And so a financial breakthrough will come in your life when you begin to apply the principles and begin to find that there is a way that God prescribes in His Word that will bring blessing. Now, when I'm talking about financial increase, I'm talking about getting to a place where you are totally free. You will never get there by just having a savings account. You won't get there by the paycheck on your job. We're talking about a supernatural increase that belongs to you as a child of God. Now, I know, because I've been here a long time now, seems like, I know the financial climate or the condition in the Rio Grande Valley. And I know the economic status quo of most of the people that make up this valley. But that is not even considered in the equation when it comes to God. God does not really care where we live as long as we're in His kingdom. I said as long as we're in His kingdom. So get ready to receive your financial miracle. You're going to have to receive this anointing that will come forth from the word that you are receiving from God. Okay? Now, I'm trying to get started here. I want to tell you something. I do believe I know the Lord's voice because, you know, the Lord called me from the business that I was in many years ago. And so I believe that when I stand up here and I tell you these things, that I'm hearing from God on this, and there's a divine design, or there's a divine purpose in this. And just after being in ministry for 25 years, I can tell you one of the biggest problems and the most struggle that people have is in the area of finances. That's where most people struggle. Now, I know there's other problems, but generally, those problems are generated because of lack. So, we've got to come back to an understanding and get some things here that'll help us get out of the major problem that the body of Christ has, and that's a lack. If we're going to do what God called us to do, we've got to get to a place where we are financially free. We've got to get to a place where we are not burdened down because we are just barely surviving to make it. You're going to find out that we should be an advertisement as the people of God. They take notice of you. Now, again, religious people try to say, well, we shouldn't mix material with spiritual things. But all I have to say about that is they haven't read the Bible. Because we have example after example after example. The Bible says God made Abraham rich. And then it says a little later on that he was very rich. Now, if God says you're rich, that's one thing. But if he says you're very rich, and we have the story of Job, and we have the story of Esther, and we have the story of Ruth, and is on and on and on and on. The material manifestation is something that's very prevalent, or something that you see all the way through the Bible. But we are not after money. Come on now. We are after God. So the perspective has to be God first. And then all these other things should be added. Okay? So don't let religion rob you. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let your crazy thinking rob you. You found Jeremiah? Come on, you found Jeremiah? Okay. Now look what it says. I'm gonna read Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It says in verse 8, "Do not be afraid of their faces." I'm telling you, when you preach something like this, you get all kind of faces. "For I am with you to deliver," now look at this, "I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." So this is a word of deliverance. Say this with me, say, "Tonight is a word from God to deliver me." "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." So I'm standing here tonight to tell you that this is not my word. This is the word that the Lord put in my mouth to give to you. This is your word of deliverance. This is the word for you to bring increase in your life. If you can receive that, do you receive that? I'm already feeling some expectation in here right now. Because I'm here to minister to you so that your level of faith will rise, so that you see yourself as God sees you and what God says about you. Verse 10. Now, it says, I have set this day, set you over the nations, over the kingdoms. Now look at this. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, again, in all these years, I have heard a lot of teaching on prosperity. I've heard a lot of messages. But I have not seen a lot of demonstration. I have not seen a lot of manifestation demonstration. A lot of people preach it, but they can't demonstrate it. And a lot of people want to hold back again because they don't think that God is really into the material side or the side that blesses you materialistically. But God wants you to have not just good things, but that your life to be a representative that your God is a rich God. Your Heavenly Father is a mighty God and a God who owns all of the universe. Come on. All of the gold and all of the silver belong to God. Yeah. So people get shook up when you tell them things Jesus wasn't broke. Jesus was a millionaire. But you see, religion has painted him like pobrecito. He's in a glass. I've been in churches, and we've been in churches that actually had Jesus in a glass coffin and a slot, like a slot machine, to put your pesos in. Religion paints an inaccurate picture of who Jesus really is. That's why we got to get free. See, we got to do just what Jeremiah, the word was, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, we should be known throughout our neighborhood. Now, this really makes people mad. But we should be known throughout our neighborhoods, our community, that we are Christians by our material blessings. Boy, we've gotten rid of all the religious folks, I'll say that. Now, I've got scripture to back that up. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world is not looking too much at your spiritual side. They're looking to see what your God has done for you. They want to see something. Don't you ever think for one moment they don't notice what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of clothes you wear. Are you with me? They notice these things because that's what they're into. Are you listening to me? So, in order for you to have financial breakthrough, there's some things that's got to be rooted out of our thinking. We've got to allow some things to be taken out, to be destroyed, to be thrown down so that we can build and plant. And we've got to understand that, you know, our source is not our job. Our breakthrough or our financial freedom is not, you know, on payday. Listen, payday is not your financial free day. Your real payday will be when you are free. So we can't look to our, you know, we can't look to our job. We can't look to the system to prosper us because the system is broke. The system is designed through a corrupt and evil rooting, and that's why we got to uproot that and get ourselves off of the system and get ourselves on the system of God. Okay, now we've shared a few things along that line. All right, and so we've been trained to think that material things and spiritual things should not be mixed in the church. But that's a lie of the devil, because if the devil can keep you struggling all your life, keep you barely getting by or living from hand to mouth or just living off your paycheck, then you cannot take on the assignment that God has given to you, much less corporately as the body of Christ. Stop and think about it, folks. You cannot do things in this earth without money. You can pray and you can pray and you can pray, but you still need some money, honey. If you're going to live right, you're going to take care of your family right, it's going to take money. And so, listen to this. The assignment we have in the body of Christ, and the members of the body of Christ have suffered because of lack. Because of lack of understanding and misunderstanding of what wealth and riches is really for. But we're going to straighten out our thinking a little bit on that. Well, a whole lot. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn over to the book of Zechariah. That's on over there, right after Joel and right in there before you get to Habakkuk. Right along in there. Can you find that book? It's right after the book of Haggai. There you go, in Zechariah. Now, I want to show you how important it is for you to have money. I want to show you this. Now before I, can I tell you something that happened to us on Monday night? Now, on Monday night, we pray. Now, we've been praying. We've had a corporate prayer night, I think, ever since we've had the church, right? But we were here Monday night, and it was just, I guess, an unusual smaller group of people, maybe a dozen of us here, the faithful ones, the ones that come almost every Monday night here to pray. And we got up here in our circle, just standing right in this area right here, and we just begin to rejoice and worship God and exhort and purifying the altar. And all of a sudden, I heard this singing and this beautiful noise. And I'm like right here, and I turned around this way, and then I turned around that way. And then I turned to Scotty, and I said, "Did you leave the sound system on?" He said, "No, sir, no, nothing on." And then I looked at all the people. I said, "Did y'all hear that? How many of you heard that? It wasn't English. It wasn't Spanish. It was just some beautiful noise. Just right up here in this area. There's angels in this place. They're here tonight." Some of y'all are looking at me like, I'm sure, because I'm telling you, I've heard of experiences like that. And I've had people say, "I saw an angel," while you're, but I don't think ever a multitude of us heard it together. No, it just wasn't me hearing it, because you might think, well, yeah, he hears things. It was all. Next morning, I'm coming over here, and I said, "Lord, what was that all about?" He said, "Those were your prosperity angels that have been assigned to bring money to you." Did you hear that? Prosperity angels. And he reminded me that there's a whole multitude of angels, right? But he has specifically assigned, it says that all of his angels are ministers to heirs of salvation. Remember? We're heirs of salvation. I thought I ought to tell you that. He said, I have assigned a group of those just to bring in money to you. Now I'm speaking, yeah. Now if I was taking notes, I would write this down. Because the Lord wants to emphasize supernatural. Y'all see why, you know, you see why I'm preaching this on Wednesday night. Not that I'm hiding it. I'm not hiding anything. The Lord gives me the go. I'll do it. You know me. I'll just do it. But I'm looking for believers that understand that God is a supernatural God and he wants to manifest supernatural demonstration, manifestation. I speak it over you in the name of Jesus. I have, you, here's what you write down. I have prosperity angels to work on my behalf. In your time of confession, and this is exactly what we were doing, in your time of confession, in the time of your ministry to the Lord and praying, now listen to this, you should sometimes say to those angels, go forth and bring the money to come forth my way, and he or they would understand your language and they will help you and accommodate you. In other words, angels, in the name of Jesus, go get my money. Yeah. I got to church. I had a check. An unexpected church, not a church member, doesn't go here, $1,000. I said, thank you, angels. Expect unexpected checks in the mail. Expect your angels to hearken to the word of God that you speak forth. Put a demand upon your faith. But there's some things now that's got to be rooted out. There's some things that's got to get out of the way. Our crazy thinking. Now, with all that in mind, it is good how God works. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1 here, okay? Now, here's a vision, and here's a revelation. Zechariah 1:13. It says, and the Lord answered, and the who? Oh, yeah, they'll talk to you. It says, and the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with what? With what? Good and comforting words. How many know it's comfortable to be out of debt? How many know it's comfortable to go to the mailbox and not expect bills, but expect checks coming in? Hallelujah. How many know it's comfortable to be able to go and say, you know, that's something I can use. And you don't have to worry about where the money's coming from. Yeah. Woo, yeah. Look at this. See, say this with me. Say, I'm looking from this night forward. Unexpected checks to come in the mail. We're getting wild now, aren't we? See, God, let me tell you something. God does not want you ever concerned where it's coming from. God can get it to you, whatever it takes. He can even make an enemy that doesn't even serve him give it up. I can tell you that check came from a place they don't go to church. But they said, would you pray for us, and we want to bless you. I said, God can make even the enemy give it up. Ah. The angels. Oh, I got to read this because look at this. It says, so the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying thus, says the Lord of hosts. He said, I am zealous or jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. Zion is the church. How many know God is jealous for his church? With what? With great zeal or with great jealousy. Look, I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. In other words, the people that just take for granted, never in pursuit of the things of God, just que sera, sera, you know. For I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, I'm returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and the surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. It is time for you and I to draw a line in the sand and say, devil, for me and my house, we are serving the living God. Root out. Let us be replanted. Let our minds be renewed so that we can stay on this divine design that God has planned for our life. Now look, it even gets better. He says, and proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities, or you could say my covenant people, or my kingdom people, or the kingdom of God, shall again spread out through what? Spread out. But in the margin of my Bible, the Hebrew rendering there of the word spread says to overflow with good. I said God's design is that you and I overflow with good. That we increase in this earth. God is not stupid. He left us in the earth. He put us in this environment not to survive, but to thrive. Not to just barely get along, but to have more than enough. But we got to change that mentality. We got to change that way, because we have to see that. Listen to me. I saw a statistic. 90% of sickness and disease is stress and pressure related. And almost the same percentage of that stress and pressure relatedness is related to finances. So not only are you going to get your finances healed, you're going to get your bodies healed at the same time. There will be a restoration, praise God. Oh man, a restoration. Not just a breakthrough, but to physically heal your body. We got to be like Abraham, though. Romans 4:21 says, we are fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform it. God wants to spread. Listen to that. Boy, isn't that good? Spread out through prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort the church and will again choose Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Angels come to comfort us just like the Holy Ghost does. I'll tell you, you get a check in the mail unexpectedly, that'll bring some comfort. Shekete le botaba. Now you saw tonight the atmosphere we're trying to create in here. We're trying to reach out to the populace. We love souls. And we want to attract young people into this church. Somebody said, what about the old people? They're going to have to adjust. We bought $8,000 worth of lights today. Now, what you saw was not them. Those are the old ones we've had all the time. We just turned them on. $8,000. The guy says, how do you want to pay for it? Do you want to pay it on time, or do you want to payments, or do you want us to get a little bit now? I said, how much is it? He said, well, it's going to be about $8,000. I said, well, what's wrong with a check? He said, I'll take it. I said, okay, you get it. We're faith people. Brings comfort. Just, what does it cost? Okay, there it is. We got the lamps coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say praise God. Now, you're the only ones that know that, because the same people say, well, what about the old people? I said, well, they're going to have to adjust. Yeah, but it's the old people that finance the church. No, it's not. See, the mentality is, you get all these youth in here, it's really like a mission, because they don't make any money. They don't have any, you know, they come in here broke as the church house mouse. They don't have no job, you know. They mooch off of you, want a hamburger after the service. You know what I'm talking about, right? So we'll fill the whole place up with young people, and we'll get about 50 cents from them. But you know what? Our trust is not in people. Our trust is in God. My trust is in that you will receive supernatural increase, your word of deliverance, to make you rich in God, that whatever comes up, whatever is needed, you just say, how much is it? Oh, okay, here's the check. See, we ought to be thinking about things like that. You got to get rid of your crazy thinking. What do you mean, Pastor, crazy thinking? How many times you ever looked at something and said, oh, man, I'd like to have that, but I can't afford it? Let me just tell you something. Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say, I can't afford it. Where did you learn that from? Where did you hear that from? Your mama? Where did you hear that from? You heard it from some unreliable source. Don't ever say it again. You look at something, it's good, it's nice. You point your finger at it and say, I'll be back. I'll be back. Are you with me? Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. See, when you take something out of your mind, you got to put something back in it. Because if you don't, you're going to be empty-headed. 2 Corinthians, see, you have to be fully persuaded that God is able to perform exactly what He said He would do. Are you listening to me? And there's financial strongholds that have to be pulled down. We have to do what Jeremiah said. We got to rebuild. We got to replant. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm getting excited. I'm just imparting the message to you. You can do with it whatever you want. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you have the right to this anointing. You didn't hear what I said. You have a right to this anointing. It's not mine. It's yours. I don't go out and make money anymore. I don't do that anymore. I trust solely upon God. You're the kingdom of kings. Glory to God. Now look at this. Hallelujah. Oh man, where am I at? The weapons of our warfare. Look at this scripture. The weapons of our warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God. Say mighty in God. For what? For the pulling down of strongholds. We've got to pull down those wrong ideas, those wrong thoughts, like, I can't afford that. I don't have enough money for that. Shut that kind of crazy talking up. Quit thinking about debt. Quit thinking about what you can't have. And start believing God for what He wants you to have. God wants you to have the best. You got to get that in your thinking. I've had people tell me, God doesn't want us to have the best. Have you ever read Mother Teresa's, those diaries that were just released, how she really rejected God? She doubted whether God even existed. All that she did for all the poor and all those people in India, and then at the end of her life, wonder if there was even God. Maybe she should have got a hold of the message that God wants all of His family to prosper. It's a divine right. It's a heritage. You have a rich father. And what rich father would want his children begging bread, going without, crawling around on the streets like spiders and ants and cockroaches? That's not the picture of God that's portrayed in the Bible. Look at all the descendants of Ishmael, the Arabs, over there in that Persian Gulf, Dubai, that whole island that they have made out of nothing with all the oil. They're finally getting the idea, instead of fighting us, use that money to live high on, instead of hiding in caves and under rocks. And per capita, listen. I don't know how many are on that island, but they said per capita. Everyone over there, every citizen on that little island, that Arab Emirate island, is worth $17 million. That's the descendants of Ishmael. How about the descendants of Abraham? Come on. The body of Christ has been robbed. It's been robbed, it's been robbed mostly because of the wrong kind of theology. We've got to pull these strongholds down, casting down, verse 5 says, arguments. In every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. How many thoughts? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every time you hear that voice, you can't do that. You can't afford that. You don't need that. Stop and pull that thing down. In Jesus' name, and say, if my Father wants me to have it, I will have it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, oh man, where do I go here? Where do I go? There's nothing too good for you to have. You ought to write that down. There's nothing too good for you to have. Proverbs 10:22. I need to read that one. Now, we read this a lot, but let me read it again to you. It's okay. Proverbs 10:22. Let me get a couple more scriptures here. We've got just a few minutes. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing. Now, I'm going to empower you. What does the blessing mean? It means empower to prosper. The blessing, the empowerment to prosper, to get wealth. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. In other words, listen, God can make you wealthy and keep you happy. It's not that money makes us happy. It's being poor makes us sad. Not having enough. Can't do in what we need to do. Come on, let's get honest. Now, we can't be jealous and we can't be envious because somebody has got more than we got. But I'm going to tell you something. We can have anything they have. If it's God. Are you with me? All right. Now, you have to raise your level of faith. You're going to have to go from one level to the next. Remember what I told you a while ago during the offering time? You're going to have to sow, S-O-W, sow your way out. Now, this is where it gets quiet because, see, the increase has to start on your end. If you're a $5 giver, you're going to have to increase. Hello? You got to get beyond that limit because sometimes it's a stretch. Hello? Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Okay? But you've got to understand, in order to raise to another level, you've got to increase your faith level. Okay? Now, I hope you can handle this. I know it's available. What I'm talking about is available for every Christian that believes it. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, every one of my children has millionaire status on the inside of them. Every one of his children have millionaire status on the inside of them. Now, he could have used a higher figure, but the problem is some of you, and it's not a put down. You're low on the scale, so it's hard for you to see yourself even a millionaire. But it's on the inside of you. I said it's on the inside of you. We want the people of our community to see that not only is our God real and our God saves, but our God prospers his people. We want people to know us by our fruit. Are you with me? I've had people come in this church, I mean, for years, and they would come in and say, this looks like a rich man church. I'm not sure if I'd be comfortable here. And I said, well, you probably wouldn't. I said, thank you for the compliment, though. To the world, perception is everything. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. But you see, we gotta get through that religion that has robbed us. Now let's close. We gotta close. I have so much here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. When you see the goodness of having money, it will take the evil desire out of you. Now, do you hear what I just said? Okay, here's the part that people misunderstand. And religion, again, has robbed them from receiving a message like this so that faith can rise and not misconstrue or to make this something that it's not. Now, look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It says what? For the love of money. Now, let me stop there and tell you what the Lord told me to say to you. How many of you love money? No, we don't love money. We don't love money. And we've never, ever said in these messages that we're to go after money. I said, we've never said that, have we? We've said money cometh. There's a difference. Money cometh easily and frequently. We're not going to give up our pursuit of God to go chase money. Money is not our master. We are masters of our money. We don't love money, but let me tell you something else. We don't hate money. We like money. We like it. It's our friend. It's a tool. Let me tell you what money will do. Money got me here tonight in a nice, comfortable car instead of having to ride a bicycle. Or walk. So, we don't love money. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So make sure that when we're building ourselves up in here and we're hearing a word like this, that we don't do like a lot of prosperity preachers and teachers of prosperity without demonstration. If we're not getting demonstration, then God's not honoring what we're preaching. It must not be from God. Now he said, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then he goes on to say, because we're out of time, command those who are rich. And I've taught you how Timothy here had to address those that didn't have much money, because there's a tendency for those people to be in such pursuit of money that they miss God. And then he comes back and says, okay, now those that have money, he says, command those in verse 17 who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in who? In the living God who gives us, now read this carefully, underline it, richly what? All things to what? Oh, everything that God gives us, we are to enjoy. I enjoy my house. Yeah, I enjoy my ride, especially when I'm on those rough roads. Come on. I enjoy the things that God has given me. Are you with me? I'm not haughty. I'm not prideful. I'm not puffed up in this thing. I know who gave it. Are you with me? I thank God for that. Now, he says, let them do good. See, let them do good. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I sow. I look for opportunities to bless. Are you with me? And here's what you've got to understand. You've got to not look at what things look like, but be led of God where you give. And how you give. Because when people find out you got some, they're going to come to you and ask you for some. And you don't give it to everybody that asks you. Because you might be holding them back from their blessing. Somebody came to me the other day and said, I want to give an offering to somebody, but they don't look like they need an offering. They look like they got everything. What should I do? I said, you should listen to God. You don't give by what it looks like. You give by what God tells you. And a person said, well, that confirms it because I wanted to give you this offering, Pastor. I said, well, you ought to. Because you're giving it and you're honoring a man of God, but you're also being obedient because I'm calling it in. I'm saying money cometh to me. See, I'm just telling you how it works, okay? Because people, oh, man, he got a nice coat. Look at his wife. I mean, look at the car. Oh, they don't need nothing. And you miss your blessing. I'm not saying you don't give to the poor, but you only give to the poor when God tells you and God shows you that's where you're to give. If you want to be blessed and you don't want to hinder them. I've been in Mexico and you feel sorry for them. You look at them and say, oh my goodness gracious. But you know what? They got to get out of that hole. Same God in Mexico as it is here in the States or anywhere else for that matter. Sometimes you do give, and sometimes you show them the blessing of God, but sometimes they got to get their faith up. They've got to learn to tithe, and they've got to learn to give offerings. You got to choose. You got to choose. And I got to close, but you got to choose whether you want to be rich or whether you want to be wealthy. Let me just give you these four things right quick. Riches and wealth are from God. Now you choose. 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 You choose. You want to be prosperous or you won't be without. Prosper, let me give you these four things right quick. Prosperity means to flourish, to succeed, to thrive, to experience favorable results. Poverty is a form of hell caused by man's blindness to God's unlimited good for him. Let me read that again. Poverty is a form of hell caused by man's blindness to God's unlimited good for him. Wealth means to live grand or to live good. Now you choose. Lack means I don't have enough. I'm always running short. Now you lose a lot of the wealthier people when you say that because they got food in the cupboards. Their bills are paid for, so they kind of tune you out. But see, you got to understand what lack is. Lack, listen, lack means that there's limits. Go ahead. Lack means there's limitation. Lack means there's not enough to meet the demand. Lack means you can't do what you really want to do. And even worse, you can't do what you see God is showing you to do because you're waiting on the increase. Are you with me? I think I'll choose the blessing of the Lord that adds no sorrow to it. I believe I'll choose to prosper in the Lord and let him empower me to get wealth. How about you? Come on, stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I didn't mean to get carried away, but I tell you. Did you receive that? Come on, did you receive that? Receive it. I want to pray over you right now. I just want to release as your pastor. Come on. An anointing, a financial, supernatural demonstration, manifestation to come upon your life. God has given us assignment in this local church. We are to win souls. We are to reach out. We are to build. We are to root down. We are to pull down. It's going to take you prospering in the Lord. Just like it's going to take money for your family to live properly. You want to live properly? Then receive this anointing in Jesus' name. You want to receive and enjoy good things? Then receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And there'll be more than enough.